Welcome to the Mom's Day Bunker with Carrie Henson. In the bunker, you will find joy, grief, laughter, and remembrance. It is a safe place for moms to gather during the storms of motherhood, to share stories and to encourage each other as we navigate doomsday moments that change the trajectory of our path as women. Our stories contain difficult subjects that may be triggering for some listeners. These are real stories from real moms that are surviving, have survived, and are thriving after the unthinkable happened. Please take care of your mama heart as we cozy up together, take shelter from the world, and begin. Hey, y'all. I'm so glad you're back. Thank you so much for coming back. You're listening to the Mom's Day Bunker with Carrie Henson, and I just have to preface this with I have this sexy raspy voice happening right now because I was sick. I had the flu. Tis the flu season. And I got over it pretty quickly, except it kind of settled in my throat and chest. And I just can't seem to get my voice back, which is fine because I particularly like my raspy, sexy voice. But that's where I'm at today. I mean, that's just real life, you know? And man, I hate getting sick. Oh, don't you hate it? Because it seems like when you're a mom and you're sick, everything around you starts to kind of fall apart. You know, kids are eating more bowls of cereal and mac and cheese bowls, and, you know, laundry starts to pile up, and, you know, it just starts to fall apart for you as a mom, right? That's my experience anyways. I hate being sick. But I was, and I rested. I made myself rest for a very long time in my motherhood. I would not rest. I would not take care of myself, but I have learned how important it is to just let go, to just let the laundry go, let the dishes go, let the playroom be a mess, just let it go. No one's going to die if your house is a mess. No one's gonna die if they have to pull a pair of dirty jeans out of the laundry and wear them again. It's okay. It's okay. You need to take care of your body. I had to learn. I had to take care of my body. And I didn't want to. I didn't value my body. I didn't value it in the beginning of my motherhood. But I value it now. So I slept a lot. And my sweet six-year-old was playing nurse while I was sleeping, and she was taking care of me. You know, she was so sweet. And I've got this cool voice happening today. I'm kind of excited about it. But it got me thinking about how we treat ourselves, how we sometimes will be at the bottom of the totem pole. You know, especially during flu season, right? And if you have kids in school and they're picking up all those germs, you know. We need to let that go, right? We need to let that go. There's this Zen saying. It's a Buddhist Zen saying. What's holding you back is what you're holding on to. So whatever in life you have going on that's holding you back, and you just can't seem to move forward, like something's just not clicking, it's because you're holding on to it. And that really resonated with me. And I was like, well, that's really cool. I wonder what Christianity says. So I went to the Bible and I found a verse, Isaiah 43:18. And 43:18 says, "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." You know, learning to let go, to find new things. And I was like, well, that's really cool. I wonder what Islam says about it. So I checked out some Islam things about letting go. And it says, listen, you got to free your soul so you can run to Allah. And may Allah allow us to let go of which slows us down in the race to Him. And I just kept going. I was like, well, what do the Hindus say? And the Hindus say, hey, you have a right to your actions, but never to your actions' fruits. Act for the action's sake. And do not be attached to the inaction. So when I talk about the spirituality preps, I'm going to love you where you're at right now on your journey. I'm going to love you where you are right now on your journey. For me, my journey is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's where I get my faith. That's where I get my inspiration, my encouragement. But that doesn't mean I can't look at other faiths in this world and pull from and see what they're saying and where they get it. And I love that Zen saying, what's holding you back is what you are holding on to. I'll tell you a story. I love teenagers. I love, teenagers are my people. Junior high age group, they're my people. I love that age group, but I just love teenagers in general. I love working with them. I love teaching them. I love my own teenagers. And I had this conversation recently with my two oldest. Okay. My oldest is like a couple months shy of turning 20. So he's not going to be a teenager much longer. And my second born is 17. And we, as you know, went through a pretty traumatic event last March of 23, when my son, 7-year-old, was hit by a 1-ton truck. He was critically injured. And it just was a devastating Mom's Day moment, not just for me, but for my kids. And because of that incident, we've all had to work really, really hard on processing that trauma and keeping up with our mental health. So my 17-year-old daughter was talking to me and having a hard conversation with me. And she said, you know, when G was going through cancer, okay, this is a long time ago for her, y'all. It's like 8 years ago. When he was going through cancer, I felt lost. I felt left behind. I felt ignored. And I understand why. I understand what was going on. I understand that the family had to step up to save this baby's life. I understand that my stay-at-home mom, who was baking cookies when I got off the bus and who was, you know, doing the yearbook for our school, who was at PTO meetings and in the school all the time, who was teaching my Sunday school class, who was in my life all the time, had to not be there all of a sudden. Like, I understand, and it still really hurt me. And that was a hard conversation to have. And if you're going through a Mom's Day moment right now, I know, I guarantee you, you're thinking about your other kids. You're not, you know, you're focused on the child in need, but you have other kids. If you have other kids, your heart is bleeding for them because their world just got flipped upside down. And I took in this information from her as gracefully as I could, and I loved her through it, and I just listened, and I said, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. That is what happened, and I'm so sorry. And then I processed it, and I thought about it. And y'all, that night that G got diagnosed with cancer, I fully surrendered him to God. I fully surrendered him. I said, God, this is your child. Take him. If it is your will, he will survive. If it is not your will, he will not. I just ask you, don't let him be in pain. And then I did something I've never told anybody. I've never said it publicly. I've never said it in any of my speaking engagements. I've never said it to my family. I didn't write about it in our blog that I had going during cancer. I just kept it close to my heart for a very long time. And I don't know why. I haven't figured that out. But I'll share it with you. I feel safe in the bunker and I'm going to share it with you. I then prayed harder for my 3 other children than I prayed for the one that had cancer. Because I knew. I knew their lives were going to be turned upside down. And I knew they were going to miss their mom. I knew they were going to be, you know, scared for their brother They were going to have to understand what cancer meant, what chemotherapy meant. They were going to see a war zone every time they came to the hospital to visit their brother. And it was a war zone on the oncology floor. And I prayed for them in that moment. I surrendered G, and then I surrendered myself. I surrendered myself as their mother because I knew I couldn't keep up with what I was doing and be at the hospital all the time. And we were there all the time. And I realized that I was holding on to this moment that I knew would come back. It would come back to me. I knew when I surrendered myself and I prayed so hard for my kids. And I'll be honest, I prayed more for my three children than I prayed for G. I prayed for Super G, who was going through the cancer treatments. But I also knew that my community was praying for him. My community that was international, my community that was, you know, in all 50 states praying for this baby. I spent my time on my knees praying for my children that one day they would look and forgive me for having to abandon them to save their brother's life. And I held on to this, and they have like sibling support groups. We did play therapy. We brought in Child Life. And if you're in a part of the country or in Europe, I have listeners in Europe now. If you don't have something called Child Life, I want you to look into it. Okay. It's just support for your kids to help them through these hard moments. And it's for siblings too. It's not just for the child who is going in for heart surgery, or the child who's just been diagnosed with juvenile diabetes, or the child who now has these health issues. I mean, it's for their siblings too. And we had Child Life come in, and I did everything I could. I would take 30 minutes out of my week just to take one child to go get ice cream, to spend that 30 minutes with them, because I knew I would not see them for 4 days straight while I was in the hospital watching chemotherapy drip into my baby's body. And I did everything I could. And yet I still knew there was going to be a moment when it came back to bite me in the ass. Because childhood cancer doesn't go away. It doesn't go away. And it did. And she doesn't hold on to it. You know, it's not like this was something that this was like a blurb on the radar of this entire conversation that we had. And she, of course, completely understands. But it still hurt her. It hurt her to not have her mom anymore. And what some family members didn't understand is that these kids were wanting their mother. It escalated their behaviors. And then they just labeled my children, oh, they must be bad kids. They need to be disciplined. They need to be hit. No, they don't. They're missing their mom. You know, they're missing their mom. That's all it is to it. So I have this conversation with my daughter, and I call my oldest son, and I'm upset, of course. And I say, hey, I just want to tell you, I had this conversation with your sister, and I just got to apologize. I got to apologize for when G had cancer, if you ever felt, you know, left out or left behind or whatever. And he was like, Mom, do you remember when I was in sixth grade? And it was at the end of the year, okay, of sixth grade. And he had this like church thing, and he'd been with this church group, and it was going to be like their big, like, I don't even know what the purpose of it was, but they were supposed to write out a hardship that they had experienced in life. And they were going to share it with the group, and they were going to like pray through it. And, you know, so he wrote his out. And of course I'm thinking, oh, it's going to be childhood cancer or Harvey. Because I think at this point in his journey, Hurricane Harvey had just decimated our home. And so I was like, oh, wow, you know, Harry, he's got two of them. He's got cancer. He's got Harvey. And then his grandpa almost died. My dad was unfortunately the victim of a medical malpractice, and he almost died. And grandpa, like pa, is very close to all my kids. And I thought, wow, there's three, like, what are you going to write about? And he's like, yeah, I'm just going to write it out. Oh my God. I can't stop not laugh about it. They're going around in a circle and all the kids are talking about, you know, big things, hard things. Like my parents got divorced. My grandpa died. My brother died. And it gets to Harry and he's like, yeah, like the hardest thing that has ever happened to me in my life, like the biggest hardship, is this one time at camp, at summer camp, I stumbled across this like hornet of bees and I got attacked by all these bees and they were stinging me and it was terrible. It was like the hardest thing I've ever been through. And he reminded me of that. And I laughed and laughed. And I thought, oh my God, you're right. You're right. You did do that. You did. He's like, yeah. And then I felt like a total idiot because everyone else had like serious hardship stories. He said, but mom, it wasn't a hardship for me. It's okay. I didn't feel those things. I didn't feel those things. Like I was very loved. I was very doted on. You know, it was hard. It sucked. But I was like, yeah, my brother had cancer and now he doesn't. Yep. Our house got flooded and now we're back in our house. We got it all fixed. I thought, oh my gosh, here's the difference between a boy and a girl, right? Like you can see it, right? The difference between a boy and a girl. But it got me thinking about this. What's holding you back is what you're holding on to. And I held on to something that I needed to let go of because I cannot predict and you cannot predict how these moments, these Mom's Day moments, are going to affect your kids. You really don't know. You know, you stay diligent. You continue with your preps. And a lot of that is healing. One of my preps is healing. You know, you do the therapy, you read the books, you watch the videos, you have conversations with your kids. You stay true to your spirituality and your spiritual self. You stay on top of your finances. You make sure your community is tight and always growing. You know, you don't want to, there's no stop sign to community. You know, you make sure your kids are in friends' homes that you approve of, that you know their family, that their family knows your story, that everyone's on the same page, right? You make sure that you have all these things lined up always, continually. And then you got to let it go. Because it's going to hold you back. I can look now and I can see, I understand, because I had this enlightening conversation with my teenagers. My children, my teenagers enlightened me. There's like two people that experienced, that went through the same thing, had two very different experiences. One was hurt by it and one like didn't even realize it was happening. And they've both gotten through it. And I think about my son's accident last March, and I was hyper aware that it was affecting the siblings. I mean, on a mental health level, it was affecting everybody. It decimated this family. This man who, you know, he got up, went to work. I'm sure he's a nice man. You know, I have no hate or anger towards this man. He was just living his life. He was doing his day. He got distracted. Maybe he was on his phone. Maybe he was reaching for his coffee. Maybe he saw a bird fly in his windshield. I don't know. I just know that he hit my kid. And when he hit my kid, it decimated this family. And I have no idea how it truly affected each and every one of them until they get to a point in their life where they have developed the language and the awareness to come back to me and say, Mom, I need to talk to you. And here's what you can hold on to is you will listen as their mother and you will say, okay, I'm going to listen with an open heart and an open mind. And I'm not going to be right. Have you ever heard the saying, you can be right or you can be married? Have you ever heard that? Listen, you can be right or you can be married, but you can't be both. And I think that's true in motherhood. You can be right or you can have a relationship with your children. Now, I'm not talking about brushing your teeth. I'm not talking about eating your vegetables. I'm talking about their experience. I'm talking about their emotion. You can be right about what happened, or you can have a relationship with your children. I know that I did everything I could, that was in my power, being very pregnant and delivering a baby and nursing a baby while my other baby was going through cancer and taking care of three other children. I know I did the best I could in that moment, but that does not make me right. It doesn't take away their experience of it. And I know that I hope that everything I've done during this past Mom's Day moment is the best that I could do. I think it is. But I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what their experience is. But I got to let that go. And I'm telling you, if you're in the middle of a Mom's Day moment and you're worried about your other kids, which you have every right to be, if you hold on to that worry, it's going to hold you back. If you hold on to that anxiety, it's going to hold you back. So when I talk to mom, when I interview moms and I talk to them about their Mom's Day moments, you know, I usually tell them a little bit about me, and then I listen to their story, and then I say this: it's time we take our motherhood back. It's time we take our motherhood back. Do you hear me? It's time we take it back. Childhood cancer took a part of my motherhood from me because I was so worried about my other kids. I wasn't fully present. I wasn't fully present with all my children because of this Mom's Day moment. It's time to take it back. Same with Harvey, same with my husband's health, same with my son's accident, and all the little mini Mom's Day moments. Like, it's time we take our motherhood back. And globally, that's a whole nother conversation, but it's time we take it back from fentanyl. It's time we take it back from human trafficking. It's time we take it back from social media. It's time we take it back from AI. It's time we take it back from a whole lot of things. But you have to be aware. And that's that other prep that I talk about, is bringing awareness into your motherhood so that you can hold tight to your motherhood. I'm so grateful for you. You are doing such an amazing job. You're incredible. You're going through it right now. Your child is having seizures. Your husband lost his job. You're on the oncology floor right now. Your child just had his leg amputated. Your son drowned. You are going through it right now. And I'm so proud of you. I'm so stinking proud of you. And you're doing an amazing job. You're doing an amazing job. So thank you for that. Because every step you take is an opportunity for the rest of us to take our motherhood back. We have to take it back. I want to just leave you with this. I am so grateful to you for sharing this podcast. I'm so grateful to you. I was looking at the statistics on the platform that I use to put the podcast out, and the numbers just keep going up, and I'm so amazed. I'm so amazed, and I'm so grateful, and I couldn't do it without my Lord and Savior. I couldn't do it without my community. I wouldn't do it, quite frankly, but God's pushing me to do it, He's like, yeah, this is where you got to be. This is what you got to do. And I'm sitting here going, I know that's too hard. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work doing a podcast. Who knew, right? And who knew putting on a podcast was so much work? But it is. It's a lot of work. And every door seems to keep opening. And I'm now international. I'm in 4 different countries. I'm in over 20 states. And I know I'm reaching those moms that need to hear this. They need to hear it. You're not alone. You have big feelings right now. You are going through the bowels of hell in your motherhood. And there is a way out. You will get through it. You will survive. You will. I promise you will. I've done it 4 times. I have found purpose in my pain. I have found beauty in my ashes. You will get there. Thank you so much. I want you to enjoy my next guest. I'm going to introduce her real quick. She is a hoot, y'all. Oh my God, she is a hoot. She's from the Netherlands and she has a teenager, and her teenager has been on a health journey, to say the least. I mean, good gracious. It's a roller coaster listening to her story, because once you think that this child has gotten a diagnosis, you're like, okay, now we know where we're at. And then bam, it's not that. So let's look at something else. Oh, okay, now it's this diagnosis. Oh, okay, great. Now we know what we're dealing with. And then bam, it's not that either. Her name's Petra. She's just a funny lady with a super positive attitude and a positive outlook. And she's still going through it. I mean, her Mom's Day moment is now. You know, it's continuous. It's ongoing. And she's not going to stop. She's not going to stop, because that's her baby. That's her daughter. And they're just, you know, they just got to get through these moments. But she's funny. You guys are really going to enjoy her. I really enjoyed interviewing her as well. So until next time, my bunkmates, stay safe, stay strong, and keep prepping.